Are you in the Christmas spirit yet? Well, are you?
I can't hear you!
Me neither. But it'll come, as will the diner, for Friday, December 8th, 2006. Welcome. There's a bell ringer outside the diner. There's never been one before, but there he is. I can see him through the window. He's got a black uniform and a black kettle. And he's waving a clapperless bell. He's a member of the Perdition Army, which is an organization that stands in complete opposition to the Salvation Army. Gog to the others, Magog, if you will. And whereas the Salvation Army is determined to lift people up out of dire straits, the Perdition Army is dedicated to pushing them down into the same, to encouraging the spread of despair and hopelessness at this time of need. I didn't give him any money. Although, oddly enough, from what I understand, the Salvation and the Perdition Armies both use the same kind of brass band and play the same kind of lugubrious music. I guess it means different things to different people. Me, I think that's what they pipe through the Muzak speakers in hell 24/7. Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Lilac, sitting here at my usual place with a long, long boomerang pattern for my counter, which is now bedecked with small pieces of holly and little bows of evergreen, which leave needles everywhere. I swear I have no idea, but they manage to attach themselves to your clothing, and you find them in your pockets. They turn up in July. They're just amazingly persistent, those needles. And anyway, here at the diner, at the old diner, that is, out on Old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. And if I sound a little distracted, it's because I ought to be in the Christmas spirit. Ought I not? But I'm not. Well, perhaps there's something on the menu that will change my mind. Let's crane our necks and look over the chalkboard. Chicken fried fruitcake.
Please, No more fruitcake!
I'm with you, breathy white people's chorus. Well, I'm not going to engage in any rote and cliched fruitcake bashing. It's not funny anymore, if it ever was. But there is something as persistent and inedible, I think, as fruitcake. And that's the sausage and cheese basket that you seem to get this time of year. We get them every year from our financial planner. Every year they grow more ornate. Well, I hope so. I mean, The year he mails us a Slim Jim and a pre-wrapped slice of American cheese is probably an indication that the counts didn't do so well last year. But they're pretty good, and they're all exquisitely wrapped and prepared. It's 3 ounces of meat, as far as I can tell, and 47 pounds of packaging. And a basket, which goes into the basket closet to be used in case of a basket shortage. Can't throw it out. Heavens no. But it's really more pedigreed version of something that we used to give for Christmas in Fargo, the Hickory Farms selection. Oh, yeah. Come Christmas time, you wanted to get something for an uncle or a boss or an employee or somebody whose tastes you didn't quite know, you went to Hickory Farms, the store in West Acres Mall. Big chain, I believe. You buy them some meat, big old box of meat. Cow meat, pork, ham, pig. Aren't those all the same thing? Yes, they are, aren't they? I've never been able to figure out which part of a pig a ham comes from, though. I'm serious. I know, it's probably the back butt part, right? But you look at these gigantic hams, and then you try to visualize the creature to which it's attached. That's a big pig. I really ought to know that, shouldn't I? Oh, who cares? Anyway, yeah, the Hickory Farms meats were a variety of indistinguishable fleshes that had been minced and rendered and stuffed into intestinal casings and sprinkled with a soupçon of spices. Accompanying them in their journey through life, or death as the case may be, were a variety of indistinguishable cheeses, which were always hard, and either sharp or mild. That was it. Sharp cheddar, that was about as much as we could take in those parts of the country. And then it would be packed in a box and surrounded with a lot of cut green grass, which come the Easter, I suppose, would stand in for Easter grass, and wrapped lovingly with cellophane and sold to people who would buy them for people that they didn't know what to get. like their boss. What do you get the boss? Good. You get him this. What boss doesn't like sausage? Here, boss. Here's the money you paid me, served back to you in meat form. Merry Christmas. And I don't remember ever eating any of the stuff, especially the cheese logs that were covered with nuts. I'm sure they were delicious, but they looked like something that had been pushed out the digestive system of some large ruminant. What happened to them? I don't know. It's possible my mom threw everything in a pot or a pan and made hickory fricassee or something, but I don't recall ever eating that stuff. What I do recall, very clearly, are the Russell Stover selections. It wasn't the food that I liked about Christmas. Christmas is not a food type of holiday anyway. It's a confection holiday, and the Russell Stover box that my father always brought home on Christmas Eve, having purchased it at Johnson's Drug at Northport Store a block away, why old man Johnson himself, who ran the drugstore, was across the street up the block, close-knit neighborhood. And you get the Russell Stover selection, which was two-tiered. And the best part of it was the basement level of the two-tier box mimicked the top floor. They were the same. You could eat your way through the whole thing knowing that the joys and delights would be duplicated once you peeled back that strange waxed piece of corrugated paper between the two. And everybody had their own preferences, of course. I preferred the pastel-colored ones that had some white nougat inside. Quite delicious. Just absolutely delicious. And as a family, we would pretty much punish that box throughout the evening. Now, there were four of us, so it's not like we got up like big chocolatey blobs and tried to grease the door frame so we could waddle back into our rooms and sleep it off, exhaling gaseous chocolate vapors. No, not us. No, we left a few pieces for the next day. So maybe that's what I need then to get me in the mood for Christmas, because I'm not. I should go to Hickory Farms, if they still exist, and I should get myself a two-story box of Russell Stovers and look at it, because, of course, I don't eat a lot of chocolate or candy anymore. I wonder if that would do it. What would do it? Oh, I know. More Christmas music. The older I get, the more I believe that the presence of Christmas music serves the absolute opposite function. It puts a distance between me and the Christmas mood. I've got to be ready for it. Everyone else is probably the same. But everyone else is individually calibrated as to when they want to hear Christmas music. Isn't that the case? For some people, the day after Thanksgiving is the day they go to the mall, and to walk around and to see all the sights and hear the jingling and the jangling and the rocking around the Christmas tree and all the other standards, their heart's in it from the get-go. But these are the people, of course, who were shopping for ornaments at those year-long Christmas stores in June and July, weren't you? Putting them away in big green plastic boxes in the basement, waiting for the day. Those are the people who never have Christmas leave their hearts. How I hate them. As for the rest of us, it just takes a while. The pump needs to be primed. It doesn't come naturally. Doesn't necessarily come naturally the older you get. That is a perfectly good reason for this, of course. Christmas is wonderful when you're a child. I mean, because that's when you have that perfect, innocent combination of wonder and greed. And as an adult, you generally lose both. Ideally, you should. And Christmas becomes something else. It becomes either a deeply held spiritual moment for you, in which case the whole run-up with all the secular songs is sort of an adjunct to the event, or it just becomes a warm, familial, family thing in which traditions are maintained and nice smells are sent through the house and joy is generally inflicted and conflict avoided and the rest of it. So, I mean, you can be one or the other and still have a wonderful Christmas. You can be one or the other and still be in the mood. But it just takes some time. The songs don't do it for me. No, they don't. I have to be ready. And I need the day at the mall where finally it all clicks. Where I'm walking around, I've got all the bags, I've got everybody done. The songs seem right. And I know when I go outside it's going to be snowy. Not necessarily snowing, but snowy at least. Because living in this part of the country, that's one of the compensations we are owed. That's one of the things we have come to expect as our birthright, as Minnesotans, as members of the upper Midwest plains, the steppes. And that's snow at Christmas. Right now, however, ground is bare, not a flake in the sky. It's supposed to be 40 in a couple of days. And you realize that this perhaps, first of all, it's incredibly trivial and petty to be basing one's enjoyment of Christmas as to whether or not there's sufficient quantities of frozen precipitation heaped on the ground. But on the other hand, you realize that you're replaying the basic tenet of every children's Christmas story. In other words, the year there was no Christmas. That is, after all, what they all come down to. Christmas is in peril. Looks like there won't be any Christmas this year. And it's amazing how quickly everybody seems to give up on it. Ah, Santa has a hangnail. I guess there won't be Christmas this year. And then, you know, the manicurist showed, you know, the elf who has a degree in cosmetology or something shows up and clips his fingernail and there he's off. Ho, ho, ho! And Christmas has been saved. So in other words, I'm in the extremely pagan position of looking to the skies and begging the weather gods to save my Christmas. Well, maybe what I really need is a different kind of Christmas music. No? And by different kind, I mean just different ones. Every time you go to the mall, you hear the same 14 songs in endless rotation. It's not like they haven't made new Christmas music in the last 15 years, because they have. But you never hear it. Oh, every once in a while, at one of the more hip malls, you'll hear something like a Brian Setzer Orchestra Christmas tune, or God forbid, a Chris Isaak Christmas tune. Now, I like Chris Isaak, but I'm getting a little tired of the mopery. I mean, for God's sakes, when he does a Christmas song, he's sitting in a hotel somewhere on the 24th of December, weeping because he's been dumped. Again! I've been listening to this guy for 21 years, and he can't keep a girl. I mean, have you ever seen Chris Isaak? He's a good-looking guy. He's a musician, and as far as I can tell, he has a pretty clever sense of humor. But he can't get a date. There's something wrong with him, is what I'm saying. Anyway, it was the same with Elvis. You know, when Elvis sang, I'll have a blue Christmas. Who believed for a second that Elvis Presley would have a blue Christmas? Really? I mean, the guy could pick up the phone, and he'd have 18 nubile elves dancing around the house and, you know, in a jot, in a tittle, so to speak. No, a tittle is not a unit of time, is it? A tittle is a unit of measurement. Anyway, you get the point. There's lots of Christmas music out there besides what you hear at the malls. And something tells me that they've stocked my diner jukebox here with some of it. Well, let me page through here. Oh, yes. Oh. Well, there's nothing but Christmas music on my little diner jukebox here. If this is your first time to the diner, incidentally, there's a big one up against the wall, but there's also individual little controls here at the places on the counter and in the booths, so everyone has, you know, individual control over what they want to hear, but mine is always given an unusual selection. Well, let's go straight to the top. A1, it's by the Three Stooges. Oh, I think that must be some Spanish version of the three tenors. Let's give it a try.
Tis the night before Christmas, and all through the town, everything's coming loose, everything's falling down. Be careful with that holly.
Don't nail anything to the wall, I'm warning you. Use Scotch tape. Scotch tape is better.
For paper, it's good. For holly, it's rotten.
Watch out what you hang on that chandelier. It's not strong.
Tinsel, it's only tinsel.
It's too much tinsel.
What harm could one more teeny-weensy piece of tinsel do? Here, I'll show you. There. See?
Though we hang our day decorations with care,
the whole house is a mess.
And we cry in despair.
Oh,
that hurt.
No, it didn't. This one will hurt.
Ouch! Hey, you're right.
Holly leaves are
hammers. Fa la 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 la. Handle them with dainty fingers. Fa la 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 la.
Oh, my finger! It's bleeding.
Saves, you're right. I told you it was sharp. That tree is not straight.
It's leaning.
It's too much decorations on the left side.
No, it's not enough decorations on the left side.
You're both wrong. It's not enough on the top. Here, I'll show you.
No, no, don't put anything more on the top.
Come down from there.
Ooh.
Watch out what you're doing.
Ooh.
It's dangerous. I'm warning you. I'm telling you, it's a...
Timber! Come on, Larry. Let's get Curly Joe out from under that tree again.
Well, that didn't put me in the mood. It's a strange, strange Christmas when the Three Stooges can't do it, isn't it? Of course, the Three Stooges never did anything for me, so that's not a much of a surprise here. Well, let's see, there's got to be something else in the jukebox here. I'm just going to punch a button at random here. Oh. The fellow from the Perdition Army has just come into the diner. Perhaps to warm up. I didn't get a good look at him when I was coming in. Unsavory looking soul. I hope that's a full face tattoo. He's going to the jukebox. He's pushing in some... Well, I guess we'll have to let the Perdition Army handle our musical selections for the next few minutes.
Said be good, so I did what I should. Hung my stocking on the wall, didn't get a thing at all.
Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas, cause I didn't get nothing last year.
Well, stayed up late at night to see Santa Claus, right? Sure enough, don't you know that boy didn't show.
Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas, cause I didn't get nothing last year.
Well, tried to get a little kiss from a pretty little miss. She slapped me down, said to jerk, mistletoe doesn't work.
Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas, cause I didn't get nothing last week.
All right. Decorate street light, people getting half tight. One hand will slap you back, the other one will take you down.
Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas, cause I didn't get nothing last year.
All right!
Yeah, he was dancing during all that, too. Christmas is not a dancing holiday. I'm sorry, it's not. I don't mean to go all Puritan on you here. But it's just, dancing is not connected with Christmas in any way. Rocking is permissible, if you want to rock around the Christmas tree. I'm not exactly sure how that is done, whether one sort of frugs as they circumnavigate the tree. And what if the tree's in the corner? You ever think of that? Is it possible you have to drag the Christmas tree into the center of the room, which nobody does, in order to rock around the Christmas tree? It would have been more accurate if you rocked back and forth in an arc-like pattern in regards to the Christmas tree, but that doesn't scan as well as a lyric, I suppose. Well, now he's going to the counter. I wonder what he's going to order. Hot brimstone with marshmallows, probably. Well, probably as good a chance as ever to take a break for a word from our sponsor.
Underground Fire, a new album by The Ventures. Underground Fire, a heavy liquid sheet of heat, weaving patterns into the ghost of the earth. quicksilver burns, bearing the weight of change. The Ventures, Underground Fire. A harbinger of the flames yet to come. From Liberty Records. Underground Fire.
Is there anything the Ventures didn't cover, I'd like to know? Probably an album of Beethoven covers out there. It's odd that their first hit, their most popular and famous, Walk, Don't Run, was named after a parental admonition. Not exactly a green light for the hip with it now generation, isn't it? Hey, slow down! You're gonna fall. Skin your knees. Anyway, I got some hard looks from the gentleman from the Perdition Army down the counter. Apparently he doesn't like the Ventures. Too spry, too cheerful, too bright, too jangly. Ha. I wonder if he's a devil worshiper. It's got to be a hard time of year for devil worshipers. No matter what Satan does, he's just not going to get any press in December. Anything. Volcanoes, tsunamis, mass murder. Nobody even brings him up. Just off the radar. Well, it's been a while since I've dipped into the old diner mailbag. I should take a look and see what people have asked. I am happy to report that I'm no longer using that horrible song by the Five Americans, that zip code song, to introduce our diner mail segment. I've actually found a use for our good friends, the Breathy White People's Chorus. Guys, we talked about that thing, okay? On the count of three. Three, two, one.
Listener mail!
Thank you. I owe each and every one of you a nice mulled Jubal. Jubal, of course, is the official soft drink of the diner, sold only here, sort of cola-like. And mulled Jubal would be, of course, Jubal that has been heated and has a sachet of spices put in it. That's called mulling. I don't know why. I mean, for me, the term mulled indicates a contemplative state. I mulled it over. And you would think that if putting the bag of spices into the cider or whatever and heating it up is mulling, then the bag of spices itself would be the mull. But nobody ever refers to it. Throw me the mull! Where do you keep your mull? Ooh, look, the mull is empty. I mean, it's just a noun that does not exist. Anyway, let's check here. What do we have? Well, it is a letter from Mrs. Trigvi Gunderson of Prosper, North Dakota. And she writes. And I should note that she writes in the universal hand of women who were born between 1920 and 1940. All their handwriting is the same. When I opened up a letter from my mother-in-law and it was identical to the handwriting of my mother, it was one of the freakiest things I'd ever experienced. Anyway, she says, are all faiths welcome at the diner during Christmas? Well, of course they are. All faiths, some faiths, no faiths, half faiths. I mean, there's a Christmas tree, but there's also, well, there's a menorah made up entirely of Zippos, which is interesting. It's the most windproof menorah you'll ever see. Her second question, are there any special decorations at the diner? And the answer, of course, is yes. There's the little sprigs of holly and evergreen I alluded to earlier. There are small figurines of Santa, which will be deployed here and later. There's a tree that will come the last week. But most interesting, they tend to recycle, which means that a lot of the cardboard cutout decorations that they got from Ben Franklin for other holidays are used for this one as well. So you'll have a pilgrim with a Santa hat. You'll have a small Cupid, winged, with bow outstretched, wearing a Santa hat. You'll have George Washington, the silhouette of George Washington. Very odd how people still recognize the silhouette of George Washington. It's the hair, I think, with a Santa hat. And unfortunately, you'll also see witches, skeletons, and pumpkins with Santa hats as well. But in a way, you know, it just sort of brings every holiday of the year into one great finale. Don't just, you know, speaking of witches and skeletons and pumpkins, our friend from the Perdition Army is going back to the jukebox. And what's it going to be this time? I don't know. Sounds okay. I wonder who's singing.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose, and his eyes made out of coal.
Billy Idol.
Frosty the Snowman made the children laugh and play, and were they surprised when before their eyes he came to life that day.
With a rebel yell he cried, snoo, snoo, snoo.
I can't believe it, Billy Idol, Christmas.
For when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be.
Oh my God, the man from the Perdition Army has got an electric guitar. No!
Sun was hot that day, so he said, let's run and we'll have fun now before I melt away.
Look, Mr. Perdition, okay, that's enough. That's just wrong. I don't know where you came from, but frankly, the diner is a happy place. It's a warm place. It's a Christmas place. We don't need the kind of darkness you brought here. So why don't you take your darkness back out into the darkness and ring your clapperless bell, okay? Because frankly, you know, you're bringing the place down. Billy Idol, electric guitar. You ought to be ashamed of yourself for doing that to Frosty. Frosty, the beloved character whose seasonal reappearance every year on the television reminds us every time we see it of the substandard nature of Rankin-Bass animation, frankly. Not to say nothing of the rather flavorless, featureless vocal work and the bad songs. I mean, really, nothing catchy there. Nothing whatsoever. I think, frankly, they were trying to come up with something else to match Rudolph. If Rudolph was the gold standard, well, frankly, Frosty's way down there, but they thought that as a marketing tool, as a means of generating income, tie-in revenues of the sort, that Frosty probably would pay off. And I think that over the long haul, Frosty has paid off, but that doesn't mean it's a great story, a central founding myth of Christmas. It just means that it's something we've gotten used to. And as such, I can understand why people reinterpret. What am I talking about? You got me all frazzled. Sorry. Never mind. Well, he's left now.
What a dork!
Oh, yeah, and you guys were a big help. And he's taken up his position by his kettle. And he's swinging his clapperless bell in a strange, exaggerated, slow movement. I don't think that's the last we've seen of the man for the Perdition Army. I don't think it's the last we've seen of him at all. Because he had some coffee when he was here, and I'm sure he'll want to come in and use the restroom in a bit. But I don't think that's the last we've seen of the man from the Perdition Army. Will we see him next week? And the week after that. Tune in and find out. Unless I've blown through my bandwidth again, of course. Well, that'll do it for this one, and thanks for dropping by for this joyous pre-Christmas diner show. I'm James Lilacs, and we'll see you down the road.